The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get his thoughts on everything that is going on out there in Berea. I'm fascinated to what he did when he heard Bubba Ventrone say what he said. Because if I know Darryl the way he did, I have a feeling he probably smiled politely. He probably handled it well. And I am fascinated to know the thoughts that were going on in the back of his head when he heard that there's a potential possibility that Dustin Hopkins could sit the next 2 weeks. And so we now go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We bring in our Cleveland Sports beat reporter. He is Daryl Ryder, and he joins us on The Fan. What's up, D? How are you?
I'm good, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. All right, what did you think when Bubba Ventrone said, we might give Dustin Hopkins 2 weeks off? That's an option.
It'd certainly be understandable, and you also don't want to make the mistake of Dustin Hopkins actually making a few kicks, right?
I looked at Darryl, I heard that, and I went, what? We're going to give him now 2 weeks off the whole offseason on top of that? Did he find a deal on kayak for flights to Cabo? I don't know.
Apparently not, because Dustin was on the practice field today.
So, oh, that's a win.
Along with the new guy, Schmidt, which is an interesting spelling of Schmidt. But
it is an interesting spelling of Schmidt. You are correct. It took me a minute. I looked at that. I'm like, how in the world? Okay, whatever.
Yeah, I appreciate them putting the phonetic pronunciation with it. But, God forbid you don't want Dustin to accidentally make a field goal or two here in these last 2 weeks. So maybe it does make sense to go ahead and give this UFL kicker a shot here, see what he can do. And, it's not great. It's not a big deal. And if you do, okay, fine, but whatever. But, I think that what you're seeing here as they go through this process, Dan, is they can't move on right now from Dustin. They just gave him that three-year $15 million contract extension, so they just can't cut him, right? I mean, you would see in years past, and this isn't just like a Browns thing, this is just around the NFL, when you have a kicker struggling, they just move on. They cut the guy, they wave him, whatever, and they just, they move on, and obviously they're not doing that. That's why you're hearing Bubba Ventrone. You've heard Kevin Stefanski all, basically say, hey, he's our kicker, we're going to work with him through this whole thing, and et cetera, et cetera. But, the reality is in a normal situation, they would have cut him already. But because of, that contract extension he just signed before the season, I don't think they can.
The whole thing is just amazing, man. Like, I listened to Bubba Ventrone talk about this with Dustin Hopkins, and it makes me feel like he's, like, fighting the flu. Like, the way Bubba Ventrone lays it out.
I appreciate the time you took to listen to Bubba Ventrone today. So that is dedication on your part.
Hey, man, this is what we're here for. No, it was one of those fearless leader Keith Britton came running in here and said, oh, you got to hear this. And so, yeah. And so we played it. And I'm always appreciative when fearless leader comes running in going, oh, you got to hear this.
Well, he also had to hear what Ken Dorsey had to say about Dorian Thompson-Robinson as an NFL starting quarterback.
I was just about to head that direction with you, and it's sounding like he is healthy and good to go for Sunday. Yay.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's healthy or not, but he was out there throwing footballs today. So they're going to run him out there. Good luck. May the force be with you.
Exactly. Yep, that's exactly how I feel with it. May the spirit of Santa help you come over. And boy, I got nothing. Good luck, bud.
Yeah,
I hope you do well. I hope you're successful, because if you could somehow find magically the ability to move at the same speed as the defense and the players around you and to process at that level, you are the path of least resistance forward.
Well, and if you watched Hard Knocks, right, and Jameis is talking to Dorian about, hey, on Mondays I watch this, on Tuesdays I watch this, on Wednesdays I do this, on Thursdays I do this, right? And, like, you just see the expression on Dorian's face, and he's just like, look, dude, I really appreciate everything you're telling me, but I don't have the first clue what you're talking about. Like, he just had that look on his face. But, you know, for me, like, Ken, it's not so much what Ken Dorsey said, which wasn't a whole lot, but you know, when Mary Kay asked that question today, you know, what, and I'm paraphrasing here, you know, she essentially asked, hey, do you see starting quarterback potential in him? And it took Ken Dorsey 10 seconds to him and Han get to, well, you know, I'm really focused on the Miami Dolphins this week and what we have to do to be successful and this, that, and the other. Like, I mean, that tells you everything you need to know, right? Because the answer to that, if you legit do see, feel, observe, whatever, that he can, you're like, yeah, you know, okay, he's young. He's a young player, a little rough around the edges. We're working with him, you know, teaching him a few things, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, you definitely see that there's some talent and some ability there, right? That's how you answer that question if you actually think that he can be a quarterback. But when you just him and ha for a few seconds before getting to, well, I just kind of am focused on what we're going to do against the Miami Dolphins. I think that answers everything and basically confirms what I, you know, have been saying for the last week. He's not an NFL quarterback. So he's a nice kid. It's nothing personal. Great kid, but he's not an NFL caliber quarterback. He looks that way. And when you have a performance that he had against arguably one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL on Sunday in Cincinnati, like, the writing's on the wall, right? You have to call it the way you see it. And that's what I try to do. But you know, they're going to roll him out there to give him an opportunity and also to give the Browns an opportunity to lose a game and get a better draft pick.
Our Cleveland sports reporter, Daryl Ryder, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is out in Berea. Jim Schwartz spoke today as well about the Myles Garrett situation. What stood out to you about that?
Yeah, I mean, he really didn't want to get a whole lot into, you know, what Myles had to say or any motivation behind what Myles had to say last week. But you know, he did make mention of the fact that, you know, we're all professionals. This isn't an easy time of year. It's easy to go out there when you're playing for something and the stakes are high when you're going into games. But, hey, we all have jobs to do. We still have to coach. We still have to play. And, you know, Myles' production hasn't dropped off. His production, maybe from a statistical standpoint, might be a little down. But when you go deeper, and you just compare film against film from last year, the production is essentially the same from Myles. So, yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot to glean from that, because Schwartz, that's one thing since he's taken over as defensive coordinator. He's always careful to stay in his lane as the defensive coordinator. He makes it a point not to speak out of turn. And making sure he leaves things to whether, in this case, Myles Garrett to speak for himself or head coach Kevin Stefanski to speak for the team aspect of things. But, I mean, Jim's been around a long time. He gets it. He knows. And as he said, it's been a disappointing season for everybody. And so their responsibility right now is to try and finish this season as best as they can. That is the job that is in front of them at the moment.
So, Daryl, I tossed out a little bit earlier my if I was Andrew Berry, my plan to keep Myles Garrett, like what I would tell him after he came out and said, hey, I need a plan here. And frankly, the entire fan base is like, hey, I need a plan here too, if you don't mind, if we could sit in on that meeting with you.
And well, so, I don't know if the fan base needs a plan, because the fan base has been hearing plans since 1999 and none of them have worked. not even this most recent rebuild, the burn it down to the studs plan from 2016 and 2017. It didn't work, right?
So
I mean, they still don't have a franchise quarterback. They're still not a perennial contender. They certainly are not a Super Bowl contender. They're light years away from that. I mean, that's what yesterday's games showed me, just sitting in my recliner watching them. They're light years away from the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs when you're talking about being a legit true contender. So fans have been hearing plans since 99. I think what the fans want to see is, yeah, okay, you can draw up all the plans you want. Can we actually see a plan work? That's what fans, I think, want right now. They want a plan that actually works to be implemented and for this franchise to start winning games. I mean, they won, I think, 141 games since 1999, and they've lost close to 250. Yeah, like it's bad. I have to go back and check my sheet because I was updating it the other day. That's why that number popped into my head. But and I saw the clip of Tim Couch's Hail Mary in New Orleans, that won their first game back in 1999. They won 140 games since that moment. Like and I got to go back and look to be, because people always say, "Oh, Darryl, you're always going back to the 99 and you're just piling on." No, it's been consistently bad. That's why I keep going back to 99, because it hasn't mattered who the coach is. It doesn't matter who the GM is. It doesn't matter who the owner is. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. This is a massively below 500 franchise that just never wins. Kevin Stefanski's the winningest head coach since 1999, and he's two games below 500 overall.
Yeah. The whole thing, though, with it, D, is I can let my past be a lesson to my future, but I can't let my past be an effect of my future. My future needs to be something
100%.
Bright. Yeah. And that's
100%,
always my, and that's my thing always with looking to the past and all that stuff, is like, I need to let my past be a lesson to the future. So what can I glean from my past that I can take forward to build to my future? And it seems like the easiest one is the one that everybody wants, which is go get me a quarterback, which is the statement that I feel like should be right under welcome to Cleveland. Moses Cleveland found in whatever year it was, go get me a quarterback. Like, I feel like that. I feel like that's where we have been since then, because it's the path of least resistance. Yeah. But
in their defense, they've tried. They've had 39 different quarterbacks here. Like, it's not like they're not trying. They just can't find the guy.
So if I'm sitting in a room with Myles Garrett, I got to give him a guy. I can't just sit there and go, we're going to find a quarterback, because he's going to look me dead in the face and go, dude, I've been here for 8 years and you've been feeding me the same hogwash for 8 years. Who's the guy?
I couldn't tell you. I'll be honest. Well, here's the thing. Not only can I not tell you, Dan, but I don't know if there is a guy this offseason, and I don't know if the Browns are positioned, even if there was a guy, for them to go get said guy.
Yeah.
You hear the analyst and everything, Kirk Cousins, or maybe Sam Darnold if he becomes available. Maybe those guys could patchwork the thing. Look, I honestly, this is what I would do this offseason if I were Andrew Berry. And I'm having to sit down with, I call it the Brown Circle of Trust. That's the ownership and their leadership committee that makes the big organizational decisions, okay? I would sit down with the Circle of Trust, and I would tell them, Kevin Stefanski is going to tell us who the quarterback is next year. And then I'm going to go get that guy. Like, that's what I would do. Because Kevin has never had his guy. I think Joe Flacco is the closest that he's gotten to a guy that has the traits that Kevin is looking for in a quarterback to run his system. And, by the way, we're going to go back to running Kevin's offense next year. Kevin is going to be empowered to do as he sees fit with the offense and the football team. What Kevin asks for me is the top football executive, I now am going to go do it. We're not going to sit in here and do a collaboration, and we're not going to him and high and debate players. No, what Kevin wants is what Kevin is getting this offseason. That's how I'm going to approach it, because I got to do everything I can to make sure that Kevin can be successful instead of forcing Kevin to have to adapt to whatever I give him. Because, look, with all due respect, Baker, I don't think was Kevin Stefanski's prototypical quarterback. Deshaun Watson is not Kevin Stefanski's prototypical quarterback for his offense and what he wants to do, right? They're constantly trying to adapt and tweak so I would just, that's what I would do this offseason. Kevin, whoever you want, make your list of the top three guys that are acceptable for you to be your quarterback, and then I'm going to do my best to go get one of those three guys for you so you can do what you want to do next season with your offense.
That's a really good idea. It's about the direction that I was thinking. The guy who popped in my head, D, was Derek Carr. If the Saints were to move on from him, go get me Derek Carr. Go hire Clint Kubiak as an OC and let's go.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to have to dumpster dive for a quarterback this offseason. There's no question about that, right? Because there is no guy that's going to be available they can go trade a couple more first-round picks for, right? And they certainly can't afford to go out and give a significant contract to anyone because they're just going to have to bide their time for at least 2 years to get out from underneath the Deshaun financial obligation as well as the salary cap obligation. So you do that. Derek Carr, if that's who Kevin wants, fine. If it's Sam Darnold, if he becomes available, that's fine. If it is Kirk Cousins, even though, if Jameis wasn't benched, Jameis would challenge him for the league lead in interceptions, whatever. Like, whatever Kevin wants and needs, that I think needs to be the first priority, especially if you're sitting there saying, hey, we all, and I don't anticipate that ownership is going to do this, but if you're sitting privately and saying, hey, we all share in the failure here, and that's why we're not firing anybody and making wholesale changes because we recognize our contribution to this disaster, we're now just going to let you guys go ahead and do whatever you feel like you need to do as best to fix it, and we're just going to step back. Like, that's, I think, what needs to happen, and I think what Andrew Berry needs to do is just, again, whatever Kevin Stefanski wants to do at quarterback, Andrew Berry needs to do his best to go ahead and make that happen for him.
All right, buddy. I appreciate your time. I got one silly question for you to end this bad boy with just in the holiday season. What's the best Christmas present you ever got? What's the one that stands out in your
best head? I'm going to go back to my childhood just because, we're adults, whatever.
Exactly.
I'm going to go because I was really into Transformers as a kid. I got a really cool Transformer Optimus Prime toy it was the metal toy with the trailer that also you could transform or whatever. I thought that was the most bad thing you could get. Yeah. I wish I still had it to this day because I would be really filthy rich because it's worth a ton of money. But yeah, that it probably was the coolest gift I ever got as a kid.
That's a really good one, man. I got an electric guitar in sixth grade. That was the one that will forever stand with me.
Very nice.
I got an electric guitar.
Nice. How many windows did you break playing it?
My parents tolerated the horrific noises that came out of it. It's the way that it goes. And now the noises are slightly less horrific, but still pretty bad. So anyway, buddy.
I was going to say, did they pad a room for you?
God, they should have. They really should have for a lot of different reasons. Anyway, happy holidays to you. Happy New Year to you. Enjoy the rest of practice. Thanks for the time, Daryl.
Same to you. You bet, Ken.
See you, buddy. And that is Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland sports reporter, with a lot of good stuff in there all about what he would do in the offseason and all that. We'll react to what D had to say. And then also, is not quitting enough to keep a job? Is the guys around you not quitting enough for you to keep a job? Just because your team doesn't quit on your coach, does that mean you shouldn't move on? Dan Menigan in for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, the station you got it locked into right here, 216-474-0092 if you want to get a hold of me. Also, at the Sports Feller on Twitter. Feller spelt like Bob. We just talked to our Cleveland sports beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. It was wonderful to catch up with him. He was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Deep Dodge Ram Hotline. He is out in Berea today with the latest. We were talking to him a little bit about Myles Garrett, and I was asking him as well about kind of what Jim Schwartz had to say along the way. And so I know that because Jim Schwartz press conferences are always an interesting thing. He's got a lot of good information. He's been around for a long period of time. And it typically turns into story time with Jim Schwartz, which can get a little boring from time to time. But every so often, he'll drop a little bit of something. And so I'm kind of thinking, is this something? Is this nothing? Jim Schwartz was asked about Myles Garrett. We've been kicking it around all day today. Jim Schwartz has asked about the Myles Garrett comments of him basically throwing his hands up and going, guys, I need a plan here to figure out if this is the direction that I want to go. And Jim Schwartz had this to say on it.
Do you understand when he comes out and talks about not wanting to go through a rebuild, and at this stage in his career, how important it is for him to win here and have a chance to win every year?
Yeah, I'll let him speak for himself on that stuff. I mean, my eye's more on Miami Dolphins and what we can do to stop them, and not worrying so much about what's next year and, you know, things like that. So I'll let him comment on those kind of things, and I'll try to stay in my lane and keep it what we have this week and try to keep my focus there and try to keep our players' focus there.
How about the fact that he, though, has really set the tone? I remember when you first came in, you said you wanted your best leaders on the team to be your best players, and he's really verbalized it and then followed through on the field to set the tone for that effort and playing hard all the way to the end.
Yeah, for us to be successful, we need our best players to play the best, and also we need our best players to also set the best example. You know, I still think there's things we can do better that way over the course of the season, but just the ability to persevere through some things. He was injured early in the season. You know, a lot of different things come up. We haven't played with a lot of leads, which, you know, obviously affects a guy that's a pass rusher and things like that. But we'll concentrate on finishing strong and being proud about what we do over the last two games.
That was Jim Schwartz from earlier today in his presser. Some interesting stuff in there, not only about Miles, but his whole idea on leadership. I thought some of that was fascinating in itself. I don't know if he was calling people out. I don't know if there was any kind of subtlety or anything like that, but there's clearly something to be said. In the offseason, the Browns decided that they were going to bring the band back. You know, that was the whole thought. They were pulling the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after they won the Super Bowl with Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. And the year after, they were like, we're bringing everybody back. Everybody come on back. Let's sign Lavonte David. Let's sign Devin White. Let's bring back Jason Pierre-Paul. Let's bring back all of these guys. We're bringing the band back. Let's go. And it kind of flopped. And it flopped on them a little bit. And I've never been head over heels for the idea of let's bring the band back together and we'll just go for one more run with this. Because sometimes this kind of stuff happens. Things get stale. You need something in there to reinvigorate the guys, to reinvigorate everybody in the locker room, especially when winning is taking place, which I know Cleveland Browns winning. Ha 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 ha. Crack joke here. But the point that I have is that you kind of need a different idea. You need a different motivation, a different skill set, something like that to kind of reinvigorate. And I don't think the Browns defense has been bad. Now, compared to where they were last year, where they were one of the two best defenses in football. Yeah, it's been a step back. But I thought it was interesting that he talked about, hey, we're not playing with a whole lot of leads, which is something that a pass rusher needs. And we're not playing with a lot of that stuff. And we need our leaders to step up and be leaders, even though the times are being tough. And I don't think that's totally pointed at Myles Garrett or anything like that. But it seems like an interesting comment coming from a guy. And especially when in the NFL, year two of any system is better than year one is. Because year one, you're all about building the foundation. Year one, you're all about going, okay, here's what we do. Here's our terminology for it. This is what I like to do most often. This is what we do best. We're going to do that. And then year two is basically like, okay, how do we build upon this? How do we build, to use the pitching analogy that I've always been told about building defenses and building offenses and that stuff. And it's always the one that sunk in me, and it's courtesy of Nate Tice, who's now writing for Yahoo Sports and does a real good pod as well. And he always called it, year one's about developing the fastball. Year one is all about, okay, let's make sure that what we do best, we know it, and we can throw it to the best of our ability. And then year two is all about, okay, how do I build a changeup off of that fastball? How do I build a curveball off of this fastball? Like, how do I build something that could be deceptive off of it? And I thought this Browns defense would develop a really good curve, a really good change, something coming off of that fastball that they did so well, which was play man defense, single high, cover three, whatever you want to call it, too high, whatever. But more than anything else, getting home with four guys and making some noise. And I thought we were going to see the change up off of that. I thought we were going to see the development of a slider. Something that's a little different that can throw off a defense and make things more confusing for quarterbacks. And it didn't happen. Now, could some of that be injury raised? Sure. Could some of that be the fact that the offense has never really clicked into place and it's kind of tough when one side of the ball is dragging another side of the ball by the teeth? Yeah, absolutely. But it was always kind of bizarre to me. And when I hear a comment like that, it makes me wonder a little bit if Jim Schwartz was trying to get those in, trying to get a changeup and trying to get a slider and trying to do all that stuff as the season is progressing. And it's just not taking because of the overall leadership in there. It makes me wonder. And I'm not saying fire Jim Schwartz. Please do not take it that direction. I would keep Jim Schwartz. I think he is a really good defensive coordinator, and I don't think anybody else you're going to bring in there is going to improve it in any way, shape, or form. But it makes me wonder when he brings out other leaders besides Myles Garrett, who he is talking about and what that involves. And maybe, just maybe, the offensive side of the ball has, and the relative stuck in the mud that the offensive side of the ball is in, has trickled into the defense, and maybe the defense is not as bad as we all think. 216-474-0092. At the Sports Feller on Twitter, you can get me there. We'll talk a little Christmas, we'll have a little fun, and we'll solve a problem there that, frankly, if your team doesn't quit on you, is that enough to keep a job? I don't know. We'll figure it out next. Dan Medica, 93.